You're listening to Real Crime, the Movie Sleuth Podcast.
I think we're good.
You think we're a goat?
I think we're a goat. Hey, so this is Chris George with MovieSleuth.com. Hey, shut up, pal. So we're trying out something new today.
Yeah, this is super cool. This is great.
This is Scott's first time.
For what?
I don't know.
That's my first time for a lot of things.
Deliverance.
I had a very sheltered childhood, you see.
Deliverance. Wee, 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 wee. Squeal like a pig.
Where are we at, Chris?
So we are at Dawn of the Collectors in St. Clair Shores, Michigan. And literally, I brought no money with me, and it's a good thing.
What the fuck were we thinking?
Because I'm looking around this place, and it's like a masturbatory just.
Yeah.
This is fantastical.
I'm on my third pump right now. No, it's really cool. We just got here a few minutes ago and just set up this little rig we have. And yeah, it's just, you know, this is just a collector's show, which, you know, I don't know if any, whoever you're, you know, is listening to this, I don't know if you've been to any type of collector's shows. I mean, they come in all different shapes and sizes. I mean, I frequent record collecting shows because that's kind of my thing, but I also frequent toy collecting shows, such as what we're at today. And when you come to one of these things, just to describe it, it's beautiful. That's all I can really say.
It's crazy because, like, literally, I'm looking around here going, like, oh, my God. I had all this stuff when I was a kid, and I got rid of it all, or blew it all up, or sold it on eBay or Craigslist. You know, took it to some toy shows and stuff. And I mean, seriously, it's like it's heaven. It's heaven. Yeah. I mean, honestly, there is so much good shit here. I'm about ready to just piss myself.
Yeah,
and, you know,
we're they got us in the corner here at our little table, and I mean, we're in the corner. They go right to the corner, guys. We're like, oh, yeah, great. Thank you. I feel right at home right here. And we're just looking at there's a freaking Imperial Walker right in front of us.
Yeah.
Full size. If it was full size.
It's a life size.
It'd be kind of weird. I mean, it's one of the large scale sizes, though. It's massive. And we're just looking at cool stuff like this. And, you know, the people around here, we've got to talk to a few people so far. We just literally got here a few minutes ago. And we're going to spend some time here and just kind of observe, I think. Which
Chill
is really
out.
Cool. It's super cool.
I mean, it's kind of crazy when you look at this stuff because it's like a tribute show. Basically,
yeah.
It's like going to see a tribute band, but instead you're coming here and your sense of nostalgia for when you were a child just comes screaming back at you because it's awesome. It's its own kind of art almost, you know?
Well, it is, you know, and the people that work on these things, like, you know, the vendors here, and there's got to be about 40 vendors at this thing. It's huge.
Yeah.
You know what and that's really interesting you brought that up that way, Chris, and it's a cool thought because there is an art form to this, because, you know, just holding on to something, you know, an heirloom and I have several stuff that I kept, and there's stuff that I had when I was a kid that, you know, I did the same stuff. I blew it up or melted it or did something horrible to it. Not thinking about, you know, 30 years, 40 years down the road, you know, what these things would become and what we're looking at right now. So there is an art form to this, I think. And these people, when they come to these things and they present this stuff to people to buy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the stuff, I mean, I'm sure there's some restoration involved with some of this stuff. You know, I mean, it's like, look, you know, a lot of these toys, I mean, I know when we were kids, you bury the shit in the dirt. You do all kinds of horrible shit to it, right?
Yeah.
So I imagine there is, for certain items, right, there's a degree of restoration that's involved to put these things up for sale and make them worth money, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there's the gems, which are things that were just preserved over time, which is the stuff that blows my mind. Walking into a thing like this is literally like walking into a time capsule, and that's what blows my mind the most is, you know, you already said, like, the sense of nostalgia, right? And you start to get a tear in your eyes sometimes just looking at some of these things.
Well, it's like I went to take a leak a few minutes ago.
How was that?
It was great, but I had to, like, stop and my head kind of spun around three times just walking 100 feet to the restroom because I'm like, holy shit, I used to have that thing.
Yeah, I used
to have it. I don't anymore.
Yeah.
But it's just really cool that, you know, Star Wars came out in 1977, mm-hmm. and there's still somebody here at this show selling this stuff, and there's people here adoring it, and it's kind of almost a sense of community, like you'd
it
have
is.
It, like at a Comic Con, people are just really, really into the stuff. And the really nice thing is there's nobody brash here. Everybody seems cool.
Everybody's cool.
Everybody's talking and socializing.
Yeah.
And it's
and I think that's what the... You hit the nail on the head right there. I mean, yeah, you come here to look for things, and if you're a collector, you know, you always see people of this sort at these shows, and there's nothing bad. I think this is a really great thing, because I do the same sort of thing myself, is these guys, you'll see guys that actually have their paper list, or they have their phones or their tablets with them, and they'll actually be looking at something and then looking at a list, you know, and I don't know what their method of organization is. For me, like, you know, for example, when I go to a show like this or I go to a record show, I usually have a list of things that, you know, a want list, but I also have an inventory list, because I've been known to buy duplicate stuff before, like an idiot. So I'm really careful about that now, where I don't buy two of something. But you'll see people around that walk around here, and you'll see the list out there, which I think is phenomenal. It's just something I like to watch and see people do. These are like the OCD type people, you know, that really, and those are the people, like, I picture their house, which is just like probably these meccas, you know, these museums of all this really cool, like, you know, collectible memorabilia of this sort. So you have those sorts. But yeah, the big thing for me, though, is the camaraderie. You know, I guarantee you, before we leave here today, Chris, we'll probably end up talking to three or four people of just, you know, just whether, you know, just walking around here. And just getting into a conversation. And that's the stuff that I enjoy about gatherings of this sort, is just that, because you get to talk to people about things, you get to learn things from other people, and you get to just talk about the stuff that you love, right? That's what I think the biggest, coolest part of these events is for me.
Well, I think the coolest thing for me is that everybody here is here because they want to be here, and everybody here is happy. There's everybody here smiling or in a conversation with somebody about this awesome, you know, toy that they may have been looking for, or maybe they weren't looking for, and they're kind of surprised to just find this in the public where they couldn't if they just went to a toy store or something like that.
Yeah, no, this is a different animal here. This is not going to, where do you go? I mean, there's still Toys R Us now, right?
Yeah.
And they have all the new stuff. And someday that might be, some, you know, 20, 30 years down the road, something of that sort, you know, today may be the same thing that this stuff is now, right?
Yeah.
But it just isn't the same. It's all new stuff. You don't have that sense of nostalgia. You don't have that. And, you know, look, we're nerds.
Oh, yeah.
You and I especially are complete nerds. We're hopeless nerds. And this is what we'll probably be doing for the rest of our lives. So, yeah, again, you see these things. Like you were saying, you were going to the bathroom and you just see this thing that makes you damn near break your neck turning back out. Holy crap, I haven't seen one of those things in years. Wow. You know? And then, you know, where the hell did you get this thing from?
They probably got it from me when I sold it stupidly.
what I think is really cool, and I always wonder about, especially like things of the, like, collectibles of these sorts, right? A movie, you know, speaking of movies. Did you ever see The Red Violin?
Yes, okay, years and years ago.
Yeah, Samuel L. Jackson's in that. Yep, and it's you know, I'm not going to spoil it, obviously, but you know the story. Well, it's going to be a degree of spoiler for this, because it makes my point. It's about a violin that travels through time, and you get to see the adventures this violin goes on, basically, this inanimate object. And I found that idea to be absolutely fascinating, right? And every item in this place, not one thing that's sitting, you know, that's on these tables has not went on an adventure like that.
Yeah, it all has a story.
It's kind of a bummer we won't really know those stories. I mean, some action figure here, you're not going to know that it belonged to some child back in elementary school, and then, you know, it got put in a box for a couple of years, and then that child, you know, had a nephew or a brother that wanted it, and then it went here, and then maybe it got buried in the ground somewhere, and then it got dug up somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, it has this story, and then it ends up here.
Well, like, I'm looking at a Y-Wing that's in really good condition. That toy came out in 1983 with Return of the Jedi. And you can see the yellowing on the plastic.
Yeah, I'm looking at it, too.
And immediately, as I'm looking at this toy, I'm remembering my Y-Wing that looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
And I can remember getting that toy when Return of the Jedi came out.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, it's all, like, that interconnection of nostalgia and thinking, you know, where did that toy come from? Who owned that toy?
Yeah.
What did that kid do with that toy? And why is it here? Just like you said, everything has...
How did it end up here?
Yeah.
How did it wound up here in this place, you know, which gets me in the whole, you know, that the whole mushroom trip on things. But
yeah.
I don't want to do that. I mean, the way I, like, as a collector myself, one of the things I always tell people when I come to a show like this, whatever it might be, you know, toys, movies, records, whatever it might be, I always tell the person that I buy it, I'm like, well, this thing's coming home now.
Yeah.
I've said that a lot of times to people, and they get it. They all get it. They're like, oh, it isn't like, you know, there are people, and I frown upon this, but, you know, hey, it's America. You can do what you want. A lot of people come to these shows, too. It's the other sorts that come here to buy stuff to flip. I mean, that's what they do. They're in the business of doing that.
But we've said it before. We've got no problem with capitalism.
No,
that's,
no.
That's just part of
what you do.
That's part of the collection process. That's part of why these shows exist.
Mm-hmm,
and,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's really strange when you think about it. This is like almost its own small economy.
Totally.
These shows seem to drive, you know, a certain amount of income and, you know, it gets these people out and doing something, socializing and spending money.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's really cool to see, you know, people that are like me or you coming out here and selling toys actually doing something they love to do because they're here to sell stuff and make money, obviously.
Yeah.
But I'd be damned if any person here that didn't sell a lot of stuff went home unhappy because I think they're probably just really, really happy just to be here and socialize and, you know, do their thing.
The thing, the thing about this, too, what makes me happy on a more a wider scale about things, too, is like 8 or 9 years ago, you weren't seeing barely anything like this in any medium, again, in toys, collectibles, movies, records, whatever it might be, you were barely seeing any type of shows like this because obviously the economy was in a whole different place.
Yeah.
And we're seeing more and more. And really, I mean, you know, and with social media, it makes it easier to get access to these things too. It's, you know, I mean, back in the day, you had to kind of search out these shows. I mean, I remember, like, you know, it was word of mouth. You'd see a flyer at a store or something like that. Then you'd, you know, make the effort to go there. But now it's really easy with like the Facebooks and stuff like that. Somebody just sends you an invite to something. You're like, holy crap, there's a record show going on out in Livonia. I'm going to go out there and check it out, right? So that's it. For me, it's a bigger thing than just, you know, buying stuff and collecting stuff and seeing things. It's telling me that the economy is getting better, I hope, at least on the surface, right? That people have more money to spend on things and they're having fun again, right? Whereas, you know, as we both know very well, like, you know, 8 or 9 years ago, things were just shit. The economy was in the toilet. You couldn't, you know, you were basically, you know, you had to just watch your money and you weren't able to be frugal and do things. You had to be frugal to actually go out and not be able to do these things like we're doing right here. So, hell are you doing, Chris? You're making me carry this.
I'm letting people know that we're here, and they should come see us, and they should come down here and support these people and spend some money.
Yeah,
you know,
totally. Yeah, but that's my big thing. I think is just that it's nice to see these things happening again. It's telling me that people are, you know, they have money again. They're in a better place financially, and then and that's how you have your fun. I mean, that's unfortunately the way the world works. I mean, I know people think about this whole utopian idea where, well, I want to live in a world where we don't have to work and not do things. And, well, then, okay, well, I'm sorry, it don't work that way.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So I see this, and this kind of gives me like this idea of, you know, things are better now, I think, in this country, especially here in Michigan, at least where we're from. And that makes me happy too, that people are able to get out and spend a few dollars and on something they want, just not, you know, like
just like, a random thing. Yeah, like they don't have to save for it. They can come to a toy show and just be like, oh, you know what? And see, there's a whole rack over there of Star Wars Black Series figures.
Yeah,
and I'll be damned if I don't go spend $100 over there before we leave today.
You're gonna do it?
I may.
You might. You're gonna do the nasty.
I might have to. I don't know. Okay. Not that I really...
Scott, wait here. I'm going to go get some money.
Yeah.
But you can do that. And that's what's awesome, I think. It's just, you know, to have that power. And you know, it means something. And that's why I said before, though, too, is when I buy something of this sort, a collectible of this sort, literally for me, because I'm just a flat collector, right?
Yep.
It's coming home to my place.
Yeah.
My exhibits, my museum. It's home now, and that thing will never be altered in any way ever again. It's going to be frozen in time, literally. That's the way I look at things, you know. It's an interesting idea because I just talked to somebody yesterday. I've had a couple people call me recently about an old band I played in, you know, and we put a CD out and stuff back in the day.
Yeah, and B-52's tribute band.
Yeah, the B-52's. Okay, yeah, they're awesome. Really, really good study. The B-53s.
Okay.
Yeah, we put out this and we put out this CD. This was like, you know, 12, 13 years ago.
Yeah.
And anything I like, for example, and this is just a personal thing, but it all kind of relates. Anything that I've ever been a part of, like a project, you know, that had some type of physical output, that, you know, something you could hold in your hand, like, you know, a piece of art, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I've always cherished that stuff, and I cherish all my shit. That's the weird thing. I have a friend that, like, comes over and we have drinks and we talk about stuff of this sort, and he always tells me, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to, like, you know, look how awesome I am, but it's an interesting thought. He's like, dude, you know, I love coming here and hanging out at your house and having drinks and chatting about music and all this, you know, movies and toys and stuff. He's like, because when I come here, I look at how you cherish every single thing you own. Is, you know, I mean, not just, you know, any position. I mean, it's, well, you're just materialistic shit. No, I love this shit. I like stuff.
No, because it is. It's art. It's a way for you to connect with the things you love.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Like for me, it's Star Wars. I love Star Wars. I've loved Star Wars since I was 3 years old.
Mm.
And this stuff, for me, it's my interaction with the with that saga.
Yeah,
you know, I can't actually be in Star Wars.
Yeah.
So the next best thing is collecting the toys and walking down my basement into my domain and seeing my favorite characters adorning my walls.
It's the cave, you know. And it's beautiful. But yeah, we've discussed that. He's like, you cherish every, I mean, even like garbage, you know, there's some stuff I've just found that just beat the hell. But like I said, when it comes to me, it comes home. And whatever that object may be, whatever collectible it may be, it's treated with the utmost respect, you know, and it's kept in a good environment, a clean environment.
Yep.
And that's what I was saying before. I've had people, for this particular record I'm talking about, I've had this happen like twice in the last month. I've had people calling me going, hey, and these were people that were involved, you know, they were involved with it. They're going, hey, so I need a couple of those CDs, man. You know, can you give me some? And I'm like, well, what do you mean? And they're like, well, mine, you know, God knows, you know, they got, you know, because people just, and I don't understand that, and I don't want to gripe about it too much, but I don't quite understand, you know, if you buy something like a CD or a record or a toy or anything like that now, right? When we were kids, we didn't know this idea, right?
Yeah,
but now, especially, and, you know, even like 10 years ago, when I buy anything like that, you know, it's immediately filed and put into the archives, right? And the archives are a protected archive that I have, and you know, it's just that idea, right? So I get these calls and people say, well, I need it. You know, I need some. I know you have some. I'm like, but you can't have them.
Right.
I have done the work. I have saved these things. I protected these products, these pieces of history that I'm a part of. Right. Because I'm a part of them. And I find that stuff to be very, very important, obviously, because I was a part of it. So I'm going to protect that with my life. These are my babies. This is the stuff that I love.
Yeah.
So that stuff gets literally treated with the softest hands ever. So no, it doesn't get left in a fucking basement, in some box on the floor, and then a basement floods and blah blah blah. And I've had to hear these stories. I'm like, well, that's not my problem, man.
I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, I have probably 20 boxes of vintage Star Wars books, comics, old figures, toys, baseball cards, t-shirts, bed sheets. I've got everything.
Yeah.
I started selling it a few years ago.
Okay.
And everybody was like, dude, you're crazy. You should be holding on to that stuff. Well, I have a different outlook on it.
Yeah.
I don't want to hold on to the stuff if it's going to be in a box, because I don't have enough room for all of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So if it's going to be in a box, I've actually been slowly selling the stuff and using the money towards other things, more expensive collectibles, other items I want for the website, podcast, stuff like that that I'm actually going to use. It's not just because I want the money.
Yeah.
It's partly because, it's all because it sits in the box. And if it's sitting in the box, it's not getting the respect that it deserves, and I'm not enjoying it that way. So I would rather some of that stuff sell it. Rudy, that's holding the show, I've sold some stuff to him.
We should talk to him here pretty soon. Yeah.
Yeah. I figure it's better off going to somebody else that can respect the stuff and put it on a shelf and have a place for it in their lives, because I just don't I've got four kids at home. I don't have, you know, I can't turn my whole house into a Star Wars mecca.
Yeah.
So I find sometimes it's better to let somebody else love it and cherish it.
No, and that's a cool way to look at it too.
Yeah.
I get that too. I mean, see, I'm different though. I do have some stuff like, you know, heirlooms that are put away, right? Mm-hmm. Just because, you know, I may not have a place for them or and whatnot. But I'm such a, I guess it just comes down to being a pack rat and a hoarder to
right,
a certain degree.
Right.
And there's just some stuff, it's like, you know, and it's like that old mantra, like, I know as soon as I get rid of it, I'll need it for something, right?
Yeah, yeah, now, that's just happened to me too.
There's just some stuff you gotta, you know, look, okay, this is just completely useless. This has to go, right? But I mean, yeah, the stuff from my childhood that I still have, a lot of my heirlooms and whatnot. Like I was telling you, I have a set of black hole sheets from the movie The Black Hole,
wow.
Right? I do have those. And I literally, this is hilarious, I can tell you, in my bedroom, I have, like, you know, the big closet thing, right?
Right.
And I have those in a bag still. They're not going to be ever used again, right? This was for a little shitty twin bed I had when I was a child, right? That's all they're for. They're basically worn down. They're damn near transparent, right?
Yeah.
They're just totally worn out. But my mom gave them to me about 10 years ago and said, hey, I found these in the basement. And I thought you might want to have them because I know you love that movie so much. And I know you love your black hole bed sheet, really, when you were a child. And I said, you know what? Yeah, totally great. And I didn't go home and go, oh, you know, oh, I'm just going to throw this crap out. It's just, they just sit in the closet and do nothing, right?
Right, right.
And maybe once every 5 or 6 years, they might go, oh, yeah, you want to see something really cool? Check this out, right? I'm a total pack rat, I know. But it's just something that that movie obviously is very special to me. It's my favorite sci-fi movie of all time. And that bed sheet, literally, I mean, I slept on that stuff for years when I was a kid because I was obsessed with that movie. I just can't, and I get what you're saying, but that's something I just can't, no. I'm not going to have them like, you know, I'm not using them like as friggin' like curtains, right? So they're not displayed in any way, but it's more for me.
Yeah.
It's for me. It's a selfish act, right? And I'm just going to keep that stuff probably forever. And then, you know, yeah, someday when, you know, I'm gone and I'm in the dirt somewhere or whatever, spread out, whatever. I don't know how I'm going to die. How am I going to die, Chris? I don't know.
I can't predict that, yeah. But I bet it'll probably be with your boyfriend.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, well, yeah, of course. I mean, I don't. Most people don't really care about dying. They just don't want to die alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that'll be the case. But
it'll be a suicide pact with Thelma and Louise, and you will drive off a cliff.
But, I mean, those things may end up in a landfill somewhere then.
Yeah.
And it breaks my heart to have that thought. You know, and that's like one of those weird ideas too. Like you think about somebody who like spends their life collecting something. And I've seen this stuff happen before.
Right.
Somebody spends their life collecting some things. They have this whole pile of stuff, right? And they die or they go away or something happens,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then somebody might inherit this stuff. And I've seen this happen before, and it's just heartbreaking. Somebody inherits this stuff, right? And they don't appreciate it the same way. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And that really bums me out when I think about that. And I've seen this people do this stuff. I mean, I've seen people inherit like Star Wars collections, you know, movie collections, record collections, whatever it might be. And I've seen people literally, well, this is just garbage. And I'm like, are you completely insane?
Oh, dude. I mean, none of it's garbage. None of it.
But value, that's the idea of value, though. Value is assigned by, you know, it's different for every person,
it comes
right?
down to the old saying, beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with value. You know, some of these toys that I've sold,
yeah.
You know, I haven't gotten necessarily what I want for all of them.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, if you take them to a store to sell them.
Well, they're going to kill you.
You're going to get 50% less minimally.
They're going to murder you. Yep.
But last year, it was about a year and a half ago, I actually had a Power of the Force Tatooine sand skiff.
Yeah.
And I was really, really stupid.
Yeah. Yeah.
About 20 years ago, my mom was up north, northern Michigan, and she went into a toy store.
Yeah.
And they had this sand skiff from 1983, still brand new in the box.
Wow.
And, you know, I was a teenager at the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, she brought this home, and beautiful in the box. Box was in mint condition,
yeah,
and I
yeah.
was stupid. What did I do?
Yeah.
I opened the package, and at that time, I had my brother had moved out, and we had I had two bedrooms in my parents' house.
Yeah.
One was my Star Wars room with all my Star Wars stuff on display.
Wow.
And the other one was my bedroom. Well, I wanted to put the sand skiff on display, so I took the thing out of the box and put it on a shelf. And of course, the box got destroyed.
Oh.
And lost the box and all that good stuff. So Sanskiff goes into a Tupperware bin. And it stays there for years and years and years. Yeah. Well,
that's the story. I mean, keep going. But this is the whole trip I'm telling you about. Go ahead.
So anyways, I finally get the thing out of the box. And I look it up online.
Yeah.
And new in the box, the thing sells for anywhere from between $800 to $1,200.
If the box is in good condition. Are you kidding me, man?
I swear to God. Well, anyways, I listed it on Craigslist. And some dude came and bought it. He paid me $300 for it, okay? Which was still, you know, a great sum of money for something that was sitting in a box for years.
Oh, yeah.
But, man, if that thing had stayed in the package...
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, you'd have been retiring now.
Yeah. No, not really.
Not really.
But...
You'd have been much... Yeah, it would have went for... And, well, that's another interesting idea about all this stuff we're looking at. I mean, a lot of the stuff, of course, that we're seeing here... There are several stuff that are in the original packaging. We're seeing a lot of things here, and that's super cool. But don't you find it cool? And this goes for, again, the same thing with movies, music, collectibles. It's all collectibles, right? Is the packaging sometimes is just as important as the actual media or product itself that you're buying, right?
I think a lot of the time the packaging is actually more important because if it's not in the packaging, you're devaluing it by 60 to 70%.
Well, that exposes it. That's exposing it to the open air, and we just can't have that shit.
We just can't have that. The other funny thing that's going on with collecting right now, too, is... they're putting out, you know, these Star Wars Black Series figures, and they're putting out Game of Thrones figures and Batman versus Superman figures and Marvel Classic characters. They're putting all these characters out and almost nobody's opening them. And they're new toys. And people are, you can see the Black Series figures sitting right here, this speeder bike.
Yeah.
And then the Darth Vader on the corner right there.
Yeah.
Those are new figures. Those came out in the last 2 years.
Okay.
And, you know, people are going to buy those, and it's going to stay in the box and go on a shelf, just like they are in my basement.
Yeah.
But that
does raise another interesting point, though, when it comes to collecting, because the way things have become now for any type of new toy, like you were talking about Game of Thrones and things like that, these newer things that are out there, it seems like, you know, Is it? Because I'm not a child, and I won't pretend like I'm like really in tune with like younger kids anymore. Do they just buy something now and they don't play with it? Do they just buy it and like with this idea now that everything has some type of value? Like, you know, if you hold on to this thing and you don't destroy it and you keep it in the box, it'll be worth a lot of money someday and it'll be really valuable, right?
Well, I think that the vintage stuff there's still value in. The Black Series figures from Star Wars, there will be value in those someday because those are actually, they're basically sold as collectibles and no store can keep them in stock. I go on hunts for these things.
Yeah.
There's days where I will hit 15 to 20 stores in a row because Walgreens has some exclusive ones.
Yeah.
And then Walmart carries them, Toys R Us, Target, whatever.
Yeah.
But anytime you get they get them in stock, the newer ones, they're gone in like 5 minutes. So I think some of those, because they're rare and they don't put out a ton of them, they may be collectibles. But now, as far as standard action figures go, I think kids still obviously open those and play with them.
Okay.
I think there's actually like a divide now between the collector's quality and the playability of the smaller, cheaper figures.
Because, I mean, that's the idea, I think. I just hear why I watch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, any type of product or toy that comes out now, and it just seems like there is this whole, like, layer over it now of, wow, now you just can't touch that.
Yeah.
You have to. Yeah. This is a collectible, right? You just can't touch that, right? Where, you know, and the reality of it is, look, it's a toy, right? It's a toy, and you should play with it, I guess. It's just a matter of what, you know, how much you care down the road. I mean, are we all that forward thinking now that when we buy a toy, we have to think about, well, look, I can only play with it like once a week when the moon is rising and the squirrels are having sex out front or whatever it might be. It's the only time I can play with this thing because I don't want it to be, you know, beat up.
Right.
Someday this could be worth a whole lot of money, right? You know, I really would hate to see like that fun of toys still, because we all love toys. We're both big kids, right?
Yeah. My 14-year-old daughter calls me the man child, and you know what? She's right. damn it, she's right. Yeah. And I'm proud of it.
And you should never, and you can't let go of that, I don't think. But I mean, and that's the thing is you want to still play with these things. There is, I guess when you're older, it is more about collecting because you don't play with things. So that's, it's an older person's game. I would hate to see the younger generation and whatever incarnations come out, what toys, you know, what new movies or shows may come out. I would hate to see those kids lose that fun that there is, like, and the magic and one of the most wonderful feelings you ever have in your entire life when you buy a toy or a movie or a record or whatever it might be is coming home.
Or a toy.
Or a toy. I said toy, didn't I?
I know, but I'm just repeating
Oh,
that.
A toy toy. A toy.
Yeah, or a toy. Or well, lots of toys.
Same thing. Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah.
You know, a toy.
Yeah.
A real toy. An adult toy.
Ooh.
A nice toy.
Batteries.
You're killing me. But no, there's nothing more magical, I think, than to me, I mean, my favorite thing, and I love toys and I love movies, but records are like that's my favorite thing, right? Is there's just nothing greater than me than going and buying a record and coming home and unwrapping it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like pure joy to me. It's like the most wonderful thing. It's the most therapeutic thing. It's coming home and opening up a great record and then opening it up and looking at all the cool stuff, like the artwork.
Oh, dude.
And
everything, you know? I got the Deadpool vinyl sent to me, and it came yesterday, and I opened it, and it's awesome, man. Yeah. Like, nice gatefold, you open it up, there's big, layout of Deadpool in there, laying out on that blanket.
Yeah.
And the vinyl, it's just killer. It's like this red with black. It's awesome.
Beautiful.
It's got, the Deadpool eyes on the center, on the sticker, the label.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, it's a great feeling. And I mean, maybe it's silly and maybe we are overgrown children for that, but
no, it's a beautiful thing. And I don't really, it's what you like and it's what we like. And I don't really, that's the thing, like we were talking about that. And this is another gripe. I've seen people do this. Like my girlfriend does this too. Amber. She listens too, so she's going to probably hear this. Yeah, great.
Good. She better.
She better, yeah.
You better listen.
You better listen. Chris is warning you.
Fetch
right
me
now.
A sandwich.
Well, thanks. Yeah, great.
Yeah, she's gonna like that one.
She's gonna like that one. Yeah, I'm gonna forget about this. This recording in a couple weeks. She'll just be randomly pissed off at me, and I'll be like, "Well, what are you mad about?" And I won't even know why.
Well, Chris said, "Fetch me a sandwich before he throws you a beating."
But she buys stuff, and she's a little. She's not like me. Everybody's different.
Yeah.
It's cool. But I've been in her car, and she'll have CDs in there. A CD. Fine. You can say what you want about CDs. I think CDs are cool too. She'll have CDs stacked up, just laying around randomly on the floor and things like that. And it just makes my skin crawl to see that. But she'll just open up something and just have, rip it open. I'm like,
right.
Be careful with that. Just be careful.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there's value to all of it.
You're paying money for it. I mean, just take care of it. But I'm also crippling OCD and out of my mind. I'm pretty crazy in a lot of ways. So I'm one of those that you can't walk on the rug. Sorry.
People come over my house and they're like, we don't understand your Blu-ray collection. We don't understand why you have so many. And then we don't understand the order. And I'm like, well, there is a specific order.
Yeah, yeah.
There is the alphabetized section. Mm-hmm. There is the 3D section.
Yeah.
The
3Ds
are all separate.
Yeah.
I've got my Criterion Collection Blu-rays separate.
Mm-hmm.
They're not in any specified order, but and then you've got all my box sets are separated also. And it's I'm a little OCD that way too.
I really need to do that with my stuff.
Dude, I'm telling you.
Everything me is just alphabetical order. That's all it is.
When everything's in alphabetical order, the main Blu-rays are. And I tell you what, having it that way, it just makes it so much easier for me when I'm looking for something
to
watch.
I don't know how some people can operate. I want to. That's why we have the alphabet.
Well, I can tell you why other people don't have them in order.
Why?
Because other people don't have the collections that we have.
No,
I mean,
don't.
Some do, but
you got to manage that.
The general public doesn't, collect vinyl and toys and Blu-rays blah 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 blah. I mean, a lot of people do.
Yeah.
But so I think that a lot of times you'll see, somebody's got 50 or 100 Blu-rays. Yeah, they're not in alphabetized order because
just throw them back.
They're just not that. There's not that much to it. But when you've got 4,000 Blu-rays, like I've got, if there's
you
no
have
order,
to manage that. Like I said, and there's just no way. I mean, it's impossible. And I know I got to that point, about 15 years ago. I'm like, well, dude, I have all this stuff. I need to do something to manage this. I have right. to catalog this. So that's when I started like my database up, like, which I just have every single thing I own in this database now, and I know where it's at, I know where to find it, and literally I can run to anything really quick and go, oh yeah, it's right there. You know what I mean?
I used to have an online database, but I started, you know, I let go, some of my Blu-rays go, got rid of some DVDs, so there is no database anymore.
Yeah.
I'm thinking the next few weeks I might go back through and redo that stuff because it's just easier to have it, and for insurance reasons too. You should always have some record of that stuff.
Oh yeah, you should, and that's a good, you know, a more straight line way to look at it. But I mean, for me, it's just I just want to know what I have. I need to know where I'm at here, and that's like all my stuff basically is inventoried like that, just to find it again. Like I said. And just to know, yeah, like, look at all this cool stuff I have. Especially when it comes to, like, music. Did I say music? Oh, my God. Music and movies. Like, if somebody, you know, I talk to people, and I don't really trade. Like I said before, I'm not much of a trader. I just, when I buy something, it generally just comes home to me, and that's where it stays forever. But people will be like, hey, yeah, you know, you ever seen that movie? Oh, I have a copy of that. You want to borrow it? You know? Here, well, here's a copy. And I literally do this on my lists. I will mark it checked out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like I lend a lot of stuff in the first place, but when I do, I have it checked out, and I usually write down who checked it out. Because we know that's a whole other thing about having stuff, you know, especially collectibles.
Yeah.
And it's happened to me before. I was burned when I was younger a couple of times where I lend something out, and it just vaporizes. You know, and it's like, well, dude, where's that thing at, dude? Well, I'll have to find it for you. Well, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah.
Now I'm out of my mind. I'm crazy. Like, you know, nobody would be borrowing any of my collectibles now, and very, very rare people get to borrow my DVDs or Blu-rays now.
Yeah.
You let me borrow two of your Blu-rays this week, and I mean, look at how ridiculous I am. I watched them already, and they're in the trunk of the car waiting for you to take them back because I respect the hell out of that. Like, you know, that's a very, and it sounds so goofy, I know, but I respect that process so much. Like, okay, you're letting me borrow this thing.
Right.
I'm going to honor that. Very serious. I'm going to take that very seriously and get that back to you, right, as soon as I can. And I have. And that's the way, that's just how that whole thing works. So there's just, you know, that's this whole thing about collecting. It's just, there's all these weird things that happens with collecting, right?
I have a different attitude now about Blu-rays and DVDs. Well, I don't really have any DVDs anymore because I actually got rid of all of them.
Yeah.
But, you know, I used to not let anyone borrow a Blu-ray. Uh-huh. And, I've actually kind of changed that because, you know, for a while, I didn't get them back. And now, you know, I care if I don't get them back, but I figure if I've got something on my wall that somebody can go home and enjoy and watch, most likely I'll get it back. And if I don't, I'll just hunt you down and kill you
your ass.
And your parents.
And you deserve to die.
Yeah.
You really do deserve to die if you think it's nice to steal from people like that. I think it's, that really is what should happen to you.
Yeah, it's like,
true.
I mean, ISIS will hunt you down.
ISIS will hunt you down. Yeah.
Kill you and your family for stealing movies or collectibles.
But that idea, I mean, it's ridiculous to me. Yeah. Okay, hey, can I borrow this thing? I want to watch this movie. Can I borrow? Yeah, absolutely. Go right ahead. You know, it's cool. And I actually have something that's out right now that I've been having to like prod the person, going, okay, man, so you've had it for like 7 months now.
Right.
It's only a couple hours. I mean, really? Oh, I'm really busy. Well, okay, I'm really busy too, but I take the time for this kind of stuff, and I really would like to get that back. There's this big gaping hole in my database, and it's making me very, very fucking upset.
Yeah.
So bring it back, dude. I don't really understand that, and I know we're going way into the weeds here, but it all applies.
Oh, that's cool.
Why would you do that to somebody? Especially you call a friend, like, okay, well, he's got a whole bunch. He's got tons of stuff. How is he going to miss that? Well, I do miss it because I catalog every single thing I own. You know, well, you're just weird like that. Well, yeah, I am weird like that because I bought the shit and I worked for it and I want to make sure I have it. This is just how I manage this stuff. Plus, I do have a lot of time on my hands at times to do dumb shit like this because I don't have kids like you do. You know what I mean? I have a little bit more time. Not a lot, but I have a little more time.
No, why did I do that?
What's that?
Have kids. You know?
Well, I told you about it years ago. I'm like, you know, Chris, when a guy and a girl like each other, they can do things. And then you were like, oh, okay, I'm going to go do it right now. And then you went away. And then like a couple years later, you had kids running around. I'm like, what the fuck? What are you, a rabbit?
Four of those little bastards.
No, they're cool. They're great kids. But yeah, I mean, that's, but I also, like, we're talking about this cataloging thing. I also love that, though, too. I enjoy organizing things like that, especially the stuff that I love so much.
Oh, dude, there's days where I'll be like, okay, today is my Blu-ray organization day, yeah. And I will go downstairs and...
That's not work.
No, it's not work. I've got the new stuff that I get, like, over a couple months. I have a specific stack,
yeah.
And then every once in a while, it will be Blu-ray day, and yeah. I will go downstairs, and I will... get the new stuff out, yeah. And I will shift the shelf around, mm-hmm. See if there's anything I want to get rid of.
I love that shit.
People think I'm being anal retentive when I do that, but actually...
This is what I do to take the edge off.
Yeah, to me, I actually enjoy it. It gives me a chance to appreciate the cover art. I can look at the stuff and value what I purchased and what I now own, and it can find a new home in that collection. And... it'll stay there and it'll be happy.
Think about it this way. Some people like woodworking, right? And I know guys that are into woodworking and they go into their shop when they get some free time.
Yeah.
And they make an ashtray. You know, and they may not even smoke.
Right.
Right. But they make an ashtray.
Yeah.
And well, you're just wasting your time. That's just pointless. No, I'm not.
No, it's how you...
You don't get it.
It's what you do to relax and find peace in your day. What the hell is going on with this music in here?
I'm digging it, man.
Really?
Did I just hear Journey?
I think so, yes.
This is a throwback show. I mean, why not listen to the cool stuff? Hey, how about we do this? I want to get some coffee. Let's take a break. We're going to kind of record. We'll chop. Fuck this. Whatever. Anyways.
You know, I'll go get a coffee.
You're just going to...
I'll just keep talking.
What are you going to do? What are you going to talk about?
I'm going to talk about your ass.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm. Well, maybe I want to talk about my ass, though, too.
No.
All right, well, fine. I'll go get some coffee. Why don't we get Rudy? How about I go find Rudy?
Why don't you go find Rudy? We'll have Rudy come over here.
Yeah,
If he's not busy, I'll talk to him for a couple minutes. And,
yeah, and I'll find coffee. I hope they have coffee here.
I hope they have coffee, but it's going to cost you money.
I have a little bit of money in my... I mean, enough to, like, survive.
Well, if you got a buck or two, get me something to drink,
too. You want coffee?
Yeah, I'll take whatever.
All right, cool. You want a coffee?
Coffee, water, whatever. You take it.
This is great radio. How do you take a coffee, Chris?
It doesn't matter to me. Put some cream in it, Scott.
You want cream?
And sugar.
All right, I'll go to the car. I'll get the coffee. I'll go to the bathroom. Okay. I'll bring it back. Okay.
Okay. So, while Scott runs off, I'm just going to tell you a little bit about what's over here. We got a lot of games, Return of the Jedi stuff, Star Wars stuff. A lot of vintage stuff. It's just kind of crazy, and this place is actually starting to fill up. Very cool crowd down here right now. All right. Oh, here comes Rudy. Hi, Rudy. What's up, Rudy? How you doing?
Giant head.
You do have a giant head. So we got Rudy Garza Jr. here. He's running the show today. What do you, how do you think things are going so far?
I think things are going very well with this beautiful weather that we're having here. This great crowd. Nice bunch of vendors here. A lot of new faces. Very, very happy.
Dude, it's kind of cool. Like me and Scott were talking about it. And, you know, I'm noticing a little bit of a difference between a record show and this toy show. Do you notice that too?
I've never been to a record show, but I can assume that yes.
A lot of time at the record shows, you get a lot of crabby people and very eccentric people. And I know you got a little bit of eccentricity here too. But what I'm noticing here is everybody here is communicating with each other.
Yes.
And socializing.
Yes.
And it's really kind of cool to see everybody appreciating the toys.
Indeed. Yes, I think that this crowd and this type of collector really understands that there's no one else really to talk to except each other.
Yeah. I mean, but it's just really cool that everybody's happy. Everybody's talking and socializing. There's no negative vibe. Mm-mm. Whatsoever.
None. It's so really nice.
So what goes into putting this thing together? Is it really hard or?
Not so hard, but it's just a lot of time more than anything. I mean, the hardest part is finding the location and picking the right date, and that's it. And then there's the 3 weeks of stress before the show because you haven't sold all the tables, and then like yesterday we sold out. So it's just
one of those
roller coaster rides we go on.
Yeah, and it does typically go this way that later in the day more people come.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get our first rush of diehard collectors who pay a little bit extra to get in the door, and then families start to roll in. People start waking up on a Saturday and they come in.
Yeah, this is pretty sweet, dude.
Thank you.
I'm actually really happy we came today. I was feeling kind of under the weather yesterday and wasn't sure that I'd be able to make it, but now I'm really happy we came.
Me too.
Scott, you didn't find coffee? Aw. Scott's a bastard.
I'm sorry.
It's all your fault, Rudy.
I did not know that the bar and grill next door in the hall was going to ban us from going in there. So next time I will have someone here with food.
Why did they ban you?
I don't know. I think last time they got overwhelmed and people were waiting like an hour and a half for food. So now they just flat out just said no.
Wow. So I know you got stuff to do.
Yes, sir.
When is the next show?
I would think either late August or late September.
And will it be down here again, or are you going somewhere else next time?
We'll either be in Royal Oak or here.
Cool, cool, cool. Yeah. All right, man. Good talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having us. Aw.
Thanks, Rudy.
Rudy's got to go and run the show.
I went out on a coffee run, and no coffee.
It's because they hate you.
Yeah, they hate me.
Just like your mom. Your mom hates you, too.
My mother hates my guts, man.
Your entire family hates you.
Does my voice sound all screwed up today, by the way? Do I sound, like, deeper and nastier?
No. Actually, we just sound, I think, a little more relaxed and comfortable today.
You know, I am. I told you about I was running a couple minutes late to get to your place this morning or afternoon or whatever time it was, because every fucking lawn tool I have... my plan, like, we got home last night and had some people over, had some drinks, kicked back. I had a friend come in from, you know, basically the border of Michigan. She came by just to visit for the night, hung out.
Yeah.
We had a good time. And I got to bed about midnight, 12:30. I'm like, well, I have to get up early because, I got this thing we're doing today. But I wanted to get the yard done and all that crap just to get it out of the way. And, I got everything was working perfectly last week. And then today, nothing wanted to work. And it was just the most frustrating shit ever. But I was I'm a little tired. That's why I was asking that question, because we had a few drinks last night. You know how that works. And
yes.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm just wondering. I think I feel better now.
I feel fine today.
Yeah.
I'm just a little. I don't know. Just relaxed.
That's the whole. Yeah. That's where we were going. I got the attention span of a goldfish right now. It's hard. It's hard to have the focus. Like, this is challenging. Like doing this sort of stuff, because A, there's people watching, which is really cool. B, there's just, I just did a run through here when you were talking to Rudy. I just did a lap and like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I got to get out of here. I got to get back to the table. I can't,
yeah.
I'm dangerous out here, right? But I am relaxed. I think we're both just kind of like, when we're normally doing this show, I mean, we're kind of doing this towards the end of the day. We're all pretty beat up and we're kind of thinking, we love doing it, of course. We're thinking about it. We're in the middle of the week, so we're thinking about our weeks lives, because we have real lives outside of this thing.
Yeah, for sure.
But this is like a Saturday. We're around all this cool stuff that we love and all these neat people we can talk to. And, yeah, I think that is what it is. You're just kind of like, yeah, man. I feel good. I feel relaxed finally for a change.
It's kind of funny because you brought up the people watching thing.
Yeah.
And, we're watching all these people buying stuff.
Yeah.
And we've had so many people. People are doing the same thing to us. They're looking at us like, who are these weirdos sitting at the table talking into these microphones? Like, why are they here?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know, it's our first time trying to go out and do something at a show, so this is a good run for us. And,
This is fun. I'm enjoying this, and this whole thing's kind of an upstart. We're getting things going here. We're trying things, and you're coming up with these ideas, Chris, and it's like, well, yeah, coming to these things, this is just fantastic. I think this is super cool. Just to be kind of in the mix of this whole thing and, meeting with, like I said before, meeting with really cool people and possibly picking some things up, which I know it looks like I've already seen you grab your wallet like four times, like just kind of going.
No, actually, I was adjusting my package.
Oh, Is that what you call it?
Well, crabs too.
I got the crabs picked up this morning. Yeah. You know, the weather gets warm, they start getting more active.
I think a few more hatched. Oh, man.
Yeah, great, Chris.
That 5-year-old just didn't know what I was talking about. He's confused.
Oh, poor child. This poor child's going to remember that. Speaking of nostalgia.
Daddy, what are crabs?
Yeah, Daddy, what are crabs? How the fuck did we get here?
I don't know.
We're supposed to be talking about fucking toys.
Yeah, I know.
Why are we talking about crabs then?
I don't know, because I said I was adjusting myself.
Well, that's nostalgia. I was in college. You know.
I had a few too many. Massage parlor, you know, it happens.
Let me talk to you a second. Okay, enough. All right, cool. So, yeah, we're having fun. We're relaxed.
Yeah.
It's a great day. It's beautiful outside. It's wonderful. This is really cool. I just was ripping around. You know what I was thinking about buying, and I do want to look around here. I don't know why I bought them. I didn't buy them when the movie came out originally. And I know it's a newer movie, but I just adore the hell out of it. It was the Pacific Rim toys.
Oh,
now, that's
dude.
Newer stuff. And you never know. There's a lot of nostalgic stuff here, but there's newer stuff here, too, I noticed, too. So I might do a run around here and look and see if I can find the Pacific. I would love to get a figure of the Cherno Alpha, like that Russian, remember the Russian mm-hmm. tank robot they had?
Yep.
That thing is fantastic. One of the coolest looking robots I've seen in years. And I'd love to get a model of that for the office at home. So, you never know, buried somewhere in one of these tombs, there might be what I want. And that's what you come to these things for, like we were saying before, is, you come here looking for stuff, specific things. What are you eyeballing now, Chris?
I'm seeing this. There's this bin over here.
Yeah.
That this guy has separated, and it's full of Black Series figures.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, seriously.
You want to go over there and try to sweet talk him?
No.
So I noticed.
Yeah,
that.
I'm going to have to take a look at some of this stuff before we go today.
Oh, God,
but
God. So you want to look at the, hey, sir? We could ask him over here and talk to him.
Yeah.
I try to do a deal right on the show.
Anyways, you can find us at www.themoviesleuth.com.
Yeah.
Also www.spoilerfreemoviesleuth.com and the podcast at realcrime.podbean.com. Also, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and numerous other podcast services.
Yeah, it's getting out there. This is exciting. I know this would be like technically the 12th show.
No, this will be 13.
13. Oh, because you mentioned that. So, we're still kind of, we talk about this stuff, and I like being transparent with how shows like this work, too. I mean, literally, when we started this thing out, Chris and I had never done really a podcast or any type of radio together. And like Jesse and Michelle, for example, I just met those people like officially like that the first show they were on together
4 or 5 months ago.
And we're all dear friends now. It's great. I mean, we all get to talk about because we're all nerds, so we get to talk about all this cool stuff. And so I know every week we talk about when we do a show. And we always say, well, how did that feel? And we all are like, yeah, it's gelling. We're all kind of getting into this groove now. And we're all feeling each other out. Literally feeling each other out. But that's kind of what you do with these things. So we hope you enjoy it. We're only going to get better. That's what we do with these things. That's what you're supposed to do. And we hope the content's cool. And these things, I would like to do a lot more of these things. These would be a lot of fun to do, just coming here and
hanging out.
This
could become lifeblood for the show.
Yeah.
Because, totally. Next time we'll have... maybe we'll get some t-shirts made.
Yeah.
We can get some stickers, some promo materials,
totally.
Put that stuff out on the tables.
Yeah.
We can actually probably do some giveaways too.
Yeah.
Those are some good things to think about.
We'll give away one of these goosenecks that we didn't use.
Yeah. Yeah. We can, or we can beat somebody with it.
You can beat somebody with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Or
we'll raffle off a beating.
We can tell them it's Thor's hammer and we can sell it.
Paint it gold.
Sell it. See this boom neck? This is actually Thor's real hammer. Yeah,
you don't know this, but this was forged in the fires of hell.
This came from Asgard.
Asgard. Yeah. I'm not a big Thor.
It's kind of crazy. I mean,
I can't.
It's 2:00. Show's been going for 4 hours now.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's actually picking up steam. There's more people here now.
There is.
Than there were earlier.
Yeah. And when we got here, it was a pretty good crowd, but there are more people showing up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Look at all this good stuff. What do you want to do, Chris?
I don't know.
Want to make out?
You want to make out?
We can do that if you want.
There's not enough hookers here.
I was gonna say that. I asked Rudy. I come in. You know, I was like, just like Cannonball Run, dude. Where's the hookers? Where's the hookers? We could make out a few. That would really get people over here at the table. I guarantee you that.
What are those guys doing?
Those two
over
dudes
there?
Are making out with microphones in front of their faces. What the hell's the deal with that? But yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I guess we're gonna hang out here for a while. Is that what you want to do?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do we want to keep talking?
Do you want to keep talking?
No, I think we're good.
I think we're good.
I think. Are you cool with that?
Yeah, I'm cool with that. Well, everybody, thanks for checking us out.
Thanks a lot, guys.
This is Chris.
And this is Scott.
And we're going to sign off for the day, and we will hopefully be back next week.
Yeah, we'll be back. What are we going to talk about next week? I don't know. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah,
later.
We'll talk about that later. Peace.
Bye.
Visit us at www.themoviesleuth.com and find The Movie Sleuth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and iTunes.